Well, it's nice to be gathered with you again this evening in Ukrimnik. A dear young brother asked me if I had any hymns to choose, and I said no. So I left him to choose the hymns. It's interesting that he chose number 122. Just want to recite to you a couple of verses. Have you any time for Jesus? As in grace he calls again. Oh, today is time accepted. Tomorrow you may call in vain. Room and time now give to Jesus. Soon will pass God's day of grace. Soon thy heart left cold and silent, and the Saviour's fearing cease. I want you to think about that tonight. I want to read with you, please, from the book of Ecclesiastes, Job, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon, Isaiah, Jeremiah, and so on. Ecclesiastes chapter number 3. To everything there is a season, and a time to every purpose under the heaven. A time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, a time to pluck up that which is planted, a time to kill, a time to heal, a time to break down, a time to build up, a time to weep, and a time to laugh, a time to mourn, and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones, and a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace, and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to get, or a time to profit, whichever word you like to use, a time to profit and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to cast away, a time to rent, a time to sow, a time to keep silent, a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time of war and a time of peace. What profit hath he that worketh in that wherein he laboureth? We're sure that the Lord will bless to us the reading of the Word of God. Perhaps we could just bow our head for a minute. Our Father, we would ask that as we look at thy Word again tonight, and as we realise that time is passing swiftly by, and death and judgment draweth nigh, it would do well for us to consider, as the wise man said, our latter end. So as we look at thy word, we ask that thou wilt use it by the power of the Holy Spirit of God to bring a soul tonight to the point of repentance. With absolute trust and faith in thyself and in the power of thy word, we commit ourselves to thee now, and ask that thou wilt bless in the Saviour's name. Amen. I want to speak tonight about time. I want to speak about time. In fact, it affects every one of us every day in our lives, doesn't it? If you hadn't paid attention to the time last night, you might not have been at the meeting at the right time tonight. So we want to speak just for a wee while about what the Bible says about time. Did you notice that the scripture said in our reading to everything there is a season, a time to every purpose under the heaven, a time to be born, and a time to die. We all know that, don't we? We do know that, don't we? I want to speak to you about time. You know, when Paul the Apostle wrote to the church at Galatia, he spoke about time. Said he, "But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons." Did you notice what the scripture said about the coming of the Lord Jesus into the world? The Bible declares that it was in the fullness of time. Sometimes our children are born early, premature. Sometimes they're born late. Very, very seldom would they arrive right on time. But I'm interested to notice that when the scripture speaks about the coming of the Lord Jesus into the world, that the Bible says about Him that when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth His Son. That means, of course, that the Son of God existed before Bethlehem. God sent forth His Son. And so when you and I think about the Lord Jesus, we don't think about Him as an ordinary man who was born in the same way as you and I were born. The Bible says about Him that when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth His Son, sent with a mission, sent for a purpose, sent with a reason for Him being here. And the reason, of course, was to redeem them that were under the law. The reason why the Lord Jesus was sent, the reason why He came at the time of God's appointing was to redeem them that were under the law. Now, the word redemption, we all know about it because it's something that we've grown accustomed to, and perhaps we've become so accustomed to it that we don't pay attention to it any longer. But you know, the word redemption in the Bible takes us into the slave market. And there they were, men and women too, boys and girls as well, all shackled the one to the other. They were the goods of their master, and their master had the right to buy and sell as he wished, or as he pleased. And into the slave market there steps another master, willing to buy and willing to sell as well, and at the payment of a price, he was able to redeem that slave to himself. He paid the price and he redeemed the slave to himself. The slave then changed his master. Now that master had the rights to do with him as he pleased. On some occasions, the master set them free. I want you to notice that in the Word of God, when the scripture speaks about the time when the fullness of the time was come, the Bible says that God's Son was sent into the world to redeem them that were under the law, to redeem us and set us free from the bondage of the law. or in your case, in my case tonight, to set us free from the bondage of sin. Now don't tell me that New Cumnock is not in bondage to sin. Because I would have to say, not knowing too much about the place, I would have to say that I don't agree with you for a minute. New Cumnock is no different from any other village, any other town in the whole of the wide world. It is in bondage to sin. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son to redeem those that were under the bondage of the law. Or for you and I tonight, to redeem us who were in bondage to sin. You know, the same apostle writes again to a different church this time. He writes to the church at Rome. Again, he's speaking about the Lord Jesus. This is what he said in Romans chapter 5, verse number 6. For when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. Now that little word, in due time, just means at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. And so if Christ came into the world in the fullness of time, God made his Son, the Lord Jesus, made his exodus at the right time, at the correct time. You see, if I read my Bible right, I remember that there were occasions when they sought to throw him over the brow of the hill, but the Bible records, doesn't it, that his hour had not yet come. There were occasions when they would have taken him and made him a king, but his time had not yet come. But I want you to notice that upon the cross, outside the city of Jerusalem, alone, under the burning of a noonday sun, and then in the darkness where God made to meet upon him the iniquity of us all, that the Lord Jesus Christ made his exodus. In due time, at the right time, the very moment when God had designed his Son would die upon the cross. I want you to remember these things about the Son of God. And it's important that we do remember them. Because the Son of God is different from every other man that ever lived. He came in at the right time. And he left the world at the right time. Now I want you to keep that in mind as we look just for a wee while at the subject of time. And because the Saviour has been in our world, and because upon the cross he became the sacrifice for sin and has made salvation available to every man, woman, boy and girl, I want just to say this, that every one of us are at this moment in time responsible for what we are going to hear now. You might turn round and say to me, I would like to become a Christian, but not just yet. The time's not right. You know, the Lord, the God of heaven, had some stern words to say to his earthly people, the Jewish nation, one day, when they said these very words, it is not time. Our Old Testament well nigh closes with these words. Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, Haggai chapter 1, verse number 2. This people say, the time has not come. The time that the Lord's house should be built. I want to use these words just for a minute. And because I don't know the audience, I want to look into your eyes and I want to ask you a question. I wonder if you're in the meeting tonight and you're saying, it's not just the right time for me to become a Christian. It's not time. I want you to remember that the God of the universe had stern words to say to people who said these words. It is not time, not yet time. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is God's day of salvation. Who is to say that the Lord will not have returned by next Lord's Day evening? Who is to say that you will arise to waken tomorrow morning? I tell you, dear friend, gathered in our meeting tonight, you might be saying it is not time, but I tell you, there's never a better moment than now to come to the Lord Jesus as your Saviour. So the Lord had stern words to say to those who said in a day gone past, it is not time. There's an old prophet. Somebody once said, if you want to turn to the book of Isaiah, you'll find them in the shiny part of your Bible. The part that's difficult to find. Well, it's nearing the end of the Old Testament. And Hosea says in chapter 10, verse number 12, sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy. Break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord. Strange words, aren't they? But oh, how significant. As you and I sit and analyse life and death, it is time to seek the Lord. You believe that? Do you believe that it's the right time now to seek the Lord? Listen to what the Old Testament prophet said. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. It is time to seek the Lord. None of us are guaranteed tomorrow. Time at best is very brief. Like the falling of a leaf, like the binding of a sheaf, be in time. It is time, says the prophet, it is time to seek the Lord. So there were those that said it is not time, but the Lord says it is time to seek the Lord. But you know, there is a time for salvation. I've never met a man yet who would never like to grace the courts of heaven. I've never yet met a man who doesn't long for the day when he might be in heaven. I tell you, there's only one way to get to heaven. And that is through simple faith in the finished work of the Lord Jesus upon the cross. That's the only way to get to heaven. Says Paul the Apostle in 2 Corinthians chapter number 6. For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, an acceptable time, and in the day of salvation have I helped thee. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Not tomorrow. Not next week. Not even at the end of the meeting. So urgent is the message of salvation. And so great a responsibility lies on the head of every mortal being listening to the message tonight, that God has said, behold, now. Now is the day of salvation. I just want to mention this in passing, just to try and help you understand what I'm trying to say. I went into the hospital earlier on this year, and within a matter of 30 seconds, my whole life changed. You see, time is so brief. Don't tell me you have tomorrow. Time is too short. Time is too short to delay with regards to the message of salvation. Salvation is an urgent business between you and God. The settling of the problem of your sins. Says the scriptures, behold, now is the accepted time. But not only is it a day for salvation, but it's a day for deliverance. Salvation. Salvation is an interesting word because it carries with it the idea of preservation from danger and destruction. You know, I would have to say that having enjoyed salvation through faith in the Lord Jesus, I am absolutely preserved from destruction and from danger. Sorry, that's not a pompous statement. That is understanding what the Word of God is teaching about what salvation really is. Salvation has saved me from the destruction of hell. But you know, deliverance is quite different. Deliverance is setting a person free upon the payment of a ransom. Now listen. There's a verse in the Old Testament, and there's a little book, which, when you begin to read it, from the moment you read it until the minute you finish reading it, you'll never find a reference to the word God. But there's plenty inferences that God is there. And when Esther, the little book of Esther was written, the people of God, the Jewish nation, were coming under some persecution from a man called Haman. And if Haman had got his own way, he would have hanged every Jew it were possible to hang. But you know, God in his matchless grace had set upon the throne down there in that strange country a woman who was a Jew, but nobody else knew it but a few friends. And a man called Mordecai, himself a Jew, approached Esther one day. And this is what he said. Then Mordecai commanded to answer Esther in chapter 4, verse number 14. Think thou not with thyself that thou shalt escape in the king's house more than all the Jews. For if thou remain completely silent at this time, then shall their relief and deliverance arise to the Jewish people from another place. In other words, Esther, if you keep your mouth shut about the fact that you're a Jewess, God will still deliver, but it will come from another source. Then he carries on to say this. But thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed. And who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this? What a time it was. It was the time when deliverance was needed. And if there was ever a scripture in the Old Testament that finds an answer in the New Testament, then this must be one of them. For when the fullness of the time was come, and at God's appointed time the Son of God was crucified upon the cross, was it not that for that very reason, for such a time as this, God had sent forth his Son? You remember that only a few hours before he died, there was a man who, not knowing what he said, said these words. Don't you understand that one man should die for the nation, that the nation perish not? And God's Son arrived upon the cross for this very time. To be the sacrifice. To be the sin bearer. To be sin itself. That you and I might enjoy salvation. there's another verse in the Old Testament. And it's a question that sometimes is asked by people when they're thinking about what God and what God can and can't do. Is there anything God can't do? No. There is nothing my God cannot do. Says the Old Testament in Genesis 18, verse number 14. Is there anything too hard for the Lord? Now, because I don't know you, I'm going to take the liberty of asking a few questions. You don't have to answer them out loud. You will answer them unquestionably before God as we speak. Is there anything too hard for the Lord? Well, I would say, with absolute confidence and with a little bit of experience, that there is nothing. There is nothing too hard for the Lord. You're asking me, David, you don't know what I'm like. Neither I do. But you're not so great a sinner that God can't meet you where you are. You're saying, you don't know what I've done, and neither I do. But you've never done anything so great that God cannot forgive you for it. You're saying to me, David, you haven't a clue what you're talking about. Well, I do have. I'll tell you why. Because the greatest sinner that ever lived is already a Christian. You want to prove that? The Bible speaks about the man that wrote some of the verses that we've been quoting tonight as being the chiefest of all the sinners. And God met him. And God saved him. God redeemed them. God delivered them. And if God can do that for Saul of Tarsus, God can do it for anyone gathered in anything time. Have you got that? Is there anything too hard for the Lord? Let me carry on and read the rest of the verse. At the time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. You know, that was almost impossible. My dear doctor brother here will tell you that that was naturally impossible. But you know, God works in impossible situations. And you might be saying to me tonight, you know, David, things are too bad. Sin has got such a strong hold on me that it will be impossible for me to become a Christian. It's just not on the cards that I should become a Christian. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Absolutely not. And God can save you just as you are tonight. Just where you are. Just how you are. But you must come to God tonight. Because time is running out. You know, there's a little verse, another little verse. And it's told about a king in the Old Testament. And he was in a battle one day. And the battle, slowly but surely, was raging against him. You ever been there? Have you ever been there when you felt that sin was like a raging battle within, and slowly but surely is getting the better of you? Have you ever been there? Have you ever felt absolutely worthless? Absolutely down and out, absolutely worth nothing in the eyes of God. Have you ever been there where you felt that the battle that was raging, the battle of sin within you was raging to the extent that you were a defeated foe already? Well, you know, there was a man in the Old Testament, and just as a little warning to us, the Bible records a little verse about him. It says, and the battle increased that day. Howbeit, the king of Israel stayed himself up in his chariot against the Syrians until the evening, and about the time of the going down of the sun, he died. The first verse of the last two that we've quoted was a time for birth, a time to rejoice, a time to be happy, a time to look forward. Here is a time of sadness, a time of death, a time of gloom, a time of looking back, and at the evening, as the day begins to draw itself to a close, the Bible records about him, this great man, that the time for him came, that he died. You might be saying, don't be so silly, David. I'm not really thinking about dying tonight. Well, there's none of us know what one day may bring forth. There's none of us can tell the moment of our death. There's none of us can tell when life's slender thread will be broken and we'll go out of time into eternity. There's none of us can tell the time of our passing out of time into eternity. But about this man it said, that as the day began to draw itself towards the evening, his day was finished, and he died. Now I've got two more verses to look at with you tonight, then I'm finished. You know, this verse, as I look at it, it's a bit of a puzzle to me. I'm sure the Christians who are listening in tonight might consider it a bit of a puzzle as well. But I want to repeat it to you. The words of the Lord Jesus. Luke's Gospel, chapter 19, verse number 44. Beginning at verse number 42. Verse number 44 is the verse I want to think with you about. If thou hadst known, said the Lord Jesus, even thou, at least in this thy day, the things which belong unto thy peace, but now they are hid from thine eyes. The Lord Jesus is thinking about the Jewish nation. He's thinking about the privileges that they've had. Or if you want to bring it up to 2009, he's thinking about you and I. And he's thinking about all the privileges that you and I have had, having been brought up in a country like Scotland, where the Bible was once loved and read, where men and women ordered their life according to the reading of the Word of God, where there was a reverential fear for God and a love for His Word and His people. What a privilege we've had in Bible-loving Scotland. Then the writer carries on to say, for the day shall come upon thee, that thine enemies shall build an embankment against thee, and surround thee, and close you in every side. He's really telling the nation that with all their privilege, because of their waywardness from God, there would be days of judgment that would follow. Then he carries on to say, and shall level thee to the ground. Well, that happened AD 70. But I don't think the Lord Jesus was thinking about AD 70 when he was saying these words. I think in 2009 we can see these words being lived out every day in our life in the Middle East. Nations are closing in, the one with the other, against God's chosen people. And given the chance, they would rush them into the sea and obliterate the world of every Jew, every one of God's people. Perhaps the Lord is thinking about a future day when every nation round about Israel will turn against them. And then he carries on to say this. They shall level thee to the ground, and thy children within thee, and they shall not leave in thee one stone upon another, because thou knewest not the time of thy visitation. You know, we are privileged. We are privileged because God had visited us in the person of his Son, the Lord Jesus. I wonder if, not only do you know that, but I wonder if you believe that. It's important you should believe it. Because it was because of the children of Israel's unbelief in the blessings that God had showered upon them that he passed the sentence of judgment upon them. Because they knew not the time of God's visitation. That was a time that they did not understand. There's one last verse. And the book of Revelation, the closing book of the Bible, and the closing chapter of the book, and well nigh the closing verses of the book, in verse number 10, the inspired writer writes this. And he said unto me, seal not the words of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. I want you to listen to these words. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. He that is filthy, let him be filthy still. He that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. And if in the first of our two closing verses, it was a time that they did not understand, we are now thinking about a time that will never be altered. The Lord Jesus spoke about it. He spoke of two men who died. One was seen in Abraham's bosom. The other was left in hell. The Bible says, and in hell he lifted up his eyes in torment. Said, Father Abraham, send the prophets to my brethren. Tell them all about what hell is like. Said the Lord Jesus in the parable, there is a great gulf that is fixed, unalterable in eternity. And men and women who pass out of time into eternity without Christ will experience a time that will never, never be altered. You say, I'd like to be in heaven. Well, if you want to be in heaven, you get that put right with God now. Because procrastination is the thief of time. And you might pass out of time into eternity without Christ, without hope, without salvation, without friends, without the opportunity of putting the question of your sin right with God. Time. The proverb says, doesn't it, that time and tide wait for no man, and time is passing on, and time is drawing to its close. Time is running out. The day of salvation will soon be at its close, and if you've not got the question of your sin right with God now, then to die in your sin will be to perish in your sin. Shall we pray? Our God and our Father, again we thank thee for these few moments that we've spent contemplating the issues that affect us every day and every moment of every day. We admit quite candidly the one to the other that sometimes we would say how time has flown. And yet sometimes we've never really had a good look at the issues that affect us in time. 60 years and 10. And if by reason of strength, 40 years. And then afterwards, all the problems that old age brings. And what is that in contrast with the eternity that God has prepared for all those that love him? In a home that is beyond our wildest imagination and splendour. And so, Father, as we weigh up the consequences of living this little life of ours without Christ and dying without him, we ask that thou wilt help us to understand that time is flying, the moments for salvation are becoming fewer, and soon the Lord will come. And those who are blood-bought and spirit-sealed will be taken home to heaven. And left behind there will be those who have had no time for Christ, for the gospel, for the forgiveness of sins. So we plead with thee tonight that in our little gathering there will be somebody who will turn now, just now, in repentance to the Saviour and make him their own. So bless us, we pray. Bless thy word. Bless thy people. Bless every head bowed in thy presence. And we ask above and beyond anything else, we ask the glory of the name of thy Son, the Lord Jesus, and ask that salvation may come to this house this very evening. So bless us, we pray, in the precious name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.